This episode brought to you by Origins, origination technology for today's credit unions.
Studio Lounge interviews brought to you by Go West Credit Union Association, IMM eSign, Trellis, PSCU, Peer IT Credit Union Services, and Janusee. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our continued coverage of Go West Credit Union Association's MAX Convention here in Spokane, Washington. And look who we have in the studio lounge, the relatively new president and CEO of NASCUS, Brian Knight. Brian, how are you, sir?
I'm well, thank you. How are you today?
I'm doing great, doing great. Yeah, I was asking you before the recording, so when exactly did you take office? It was January, so...
Started January 1st.
Okay, so it's relatively new.
Yeah, still relatively
so,
new.
Yeah, still does. So yeah, well, we're happy to have you.
Well, thank
Congratulations.
You,
Congratulations on the position, by the way. So how are things going at NASCUS?
They're going well. Yeah. Busy but good, obviously. This is kind of a time of transformational change, not just in the credit union space, but in the entire financial services sector. So things are busy. We have the credit union space specific issues, but then NASCUS has always kind of prided itself on looking beyond that into the broader financial services sector and ensuring that our regulators and our credit union members, league members, and stakeholders understand some of all the bigger trends that are coming as well, whether it was talking about virtual currencies pre-Bitcoin
or
Into the marijuana banking and the policy around marijuana banking. I think we started a marijuana banking conference in 2019. There were so many issues, not just for those who are kind of interested in entering that space, but what we saw was a lot of issues and policy questions for those who had no interest in getting into the space. And we used to talk to them and being like, do you know what no means?
Yeah.
In the sense of, have you thought through, well, we're not going to open a marijuana account. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean the business, the employees, the spouses of the people in the business? And so, those kinds of issues. So with everything in the financial services sector right now, the rise of the fintechs, all the DeFi and all of that, just a lot going on. And then, of course, the main issue that you and I are going to talk about today, cybersecurity.
Yeah.
Which just, I'm sure everybody has been in a cyber session. And one of the things I'm going to ask everybody on Thursday is, who sat through a cyber session in the last 2 months? I'm sure everybody there.
Last week.
But yeah, exactly. But it is the issue.
Yeah.
And it's one of those issues that it's not just the financial institutions, right? I mean, it's all of us. It's NASCUS.
Yeah.
It's individuals. And so it is just such an all-consuming issue, and the need to kind of right-size the expectations. Because you can put up all of the defenses, all of the mitigation strategies you need, but, the bad actors, they're working just as hard as we are.
So
it will be a never-ending challenge. And I think one of the biggest kind of concerns out there is just the fatigue, right? We've done all that we can do, but particularly now as we kind of come out of COVID and figure what does the new workplace look like, you have all of those issues that you have to incorporate in, and then it's an ongoing assessment. You put your kind of perimeter, as it were, in place, you put your internal defenses in place, but as I noted, the bad actors are working on it too, and so it is constantly assessing, what is changing. We thought that this was a good security standard, but they're already figuring out how to compromise it. So now what do we have to change to do that, deal with that threat? And so I think, cybersecurity is just a huge issue. And then for the regulatory agencies, they also have the challenge. Not only do they have their own cybersecurity to be concerned with, but how do we train up examiners so that they can assess the cyber hygiene
at an
institution?
Because it's always changing.
And in a worthwhile manner, because a lot of them aren't cybersecurity experts. They're kind of safety and soundness, but they're generalists. And so how do you balance that so it's a meaningful exercise both for the agency from a supervisory perspective, but also for the institutions, because institutions should benefit from the examinations. So just lots and lots of challenges.
Yeah, and getting back to your session today, it's entitled "The Evolving Cyber and Information Security Policy Landscape." And this is this landscape. Oh my gosh, is it always changing or what? I mean, it's such a moving target out there. So what are some of the takeaways that you want your audience to take back to their office, so to speak, Monday morning? Because I'm sure there's going to be a ton of takeaways.
Yeah, so I think the biggest one is understanding kind of the continued evolving threat of the landscape. As I noted, we're seeing it evolve. I mean, we're seeing from, years ago, where I think some of your primary concerns were what I would call low-level, financial bad actors, the hacktivists, they are still there, but increasingly we're seeing, greater sophistication in these entities doing it, and then the absolute rise of the nation state actors who are probing and attacking all critical infrastructure, but particularly the financial services sector, and they're motivated generally by two things. There is the nation state bad actor who is looking to, cause chaos, to kind of threaten the infrastructure, but hand in glove in that are bad actors who they're doing that, but they're also trying to exfiltrate not just data, but money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things we'll talk about are some of these, you know, nation states where it isn't just kind of a hostile act against the United States, it is actually funding things that they're they're doing, the billions of dollars that they're stealing. So we'll talk about that. So one of the big takeaways is just going to be understanding that kind of evolving threat and then the increased sophistication. We're seeing this going from kind of malware to just a heavier emphasis on ransomware.
Mm-hmm.
And the ransomware itself is evolving. I think, you know, ransomware kind of used to be, blasting out wide email.
Yeah.
Let's see who I get. I'm not specifically necessarily targeting, NASCIS or a financial institution or Mike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's see who I get. Mm-hmm. Well, now we're seeing it paired, being very targeted. Beyond just locking your data, now it's locking your data and exfiltrating data. Because if you have backups, you're not inclined to pay. Mm-hmm. So now what you're seeing is the ransomware actors being like, that's fine that you have backups, but I didn't just lock your systems. I took data out. So now pay, or else we will sell the data, or just leak the data for a reputation risk. So that kind of, a continued evolving threat landscape. And then just back to the basics and thinking about what we need to do in terms of, educating employees and thinking about our constituencies, if you're a financial institution. And as I look at cybersecurity, I think about the different constituencies. First and foremost, you have your, members, right? It's their private data or their kind of financial assets. You have that issue. Another constituency, clearly, are the regulatory agencies that want to ensure that you are exercising prudent due diligence, reasonable due diligence, that you have a plan in place and you understand this. You have the broader public, reputation risk of being one of those institutions. Then I also like to kind of always say, being an attorney, I always look at the attorney side, what's another constituency? I kind of say, well, the plaintiff's bar, right? Because if you have an incident and it is at a certain, level, then you can anticipate litigation after the fact. And what are you thinking about as you respond to the institution to ensure that while resolving the situation and making your members whole and having a continuity of operations, you have to keep an eye on to what is going to be the follow-on aftermath of this and the, inevitable litigation in some cases.
Yeah.
And so serving all of those constituencies. So I think it's beyond today just a perimeter defense. Years ago, we'd all go into the office and, we'd be behind the perimeter and you had your office, equipment and your closed, system that you were in. But now we're dispersed and there's so many more technology
attach
points. And so it's no longer being able to ensure that your data is behind your perimeter. It's taking your perimeter and your defenses out to where your data is, which might be in the home. And then you think about that and you think about, again, the follow-on effects of that. How many folks have, employees at home have taken all the steps to secure, their own internet? Have you changed the admin that came with, your router that you got from the cable company?
Because
all of that, again, opens you up, which then in turn opens up the institution. Your members, what can you do to educate your members? Because if they are the ones who are compromised, while it might not be a wide scale event, what do we know is that they're still going to blame you. They're going to blame you when you have to change all of the accounts and all that. So you have to educate your employees. You should be looking at what can we do to enhance our defenses by educating our members, our volunteers, or compensated directors. And so all of this kind of perimeter is just growing and growing.
Yeah, it's almost like a mobile perimeter now, right?
Exactly.
So, and as you're talking, I'm thinking to myself, just this week, well, in the last 7 days, I've received two major phishing scam emails that have been targeted toward the industry, and they were really well done. And they were like, had Microsoft, all that. I mean, they looked legit, but my little radar was going off like crazy. I don't know about this. So it's almost at some point, the end user has to use their common sense, right? I mean, but the education certainly helps, right? Especially kind of in a ransomware or a hacking type of offense, right? So
it is.
Education is huge.
It is. And then we also, I think, have to kind of deal with this issue. And I think about this at NASCIS a lot. We spend all our time, we're telling our regulators and our credit union members, the proper cyber hygiene. Don't click on links. Whatever you do, do not click on a link. And then what do we do? And everybody else does.
Click on the link.
Well, not even that. We legitimately will send you an email with a, click on this link to register for this conference or to register for the school. And so I'm always thinking about that when we do our big cybersecurity conference. I was like, don't click on links. And then I think about, the 200 people here all clicked on a link to come to this conference. And so we're kind of working against ourselves, but there's no way around it.
Yeah.
And, I think about from a business perspective, you know, I tend to be one of those people who's like, if I don't recognize the email, I don't know, wasn't expecting it, you know, delete. And
me
I think
too.
About how many legitimate emails have I deleted? People out there
exactly.
are like,
you know, why do you respond?
Yeah, the CEO of Naskis, he's out there. He never responded to my email. And I was, you know, I kind of looked at it. And so I pepper our provider all the time. I'm sending them emails like, is this legit?
Yeah.
But a lot of times
yeah.
I'm just like, delete. If I don't recognize it, I don't see it, you know, and it's just, it's all of those kind of implications that we have to manage along with doing what our primary functions mm-hmm. are, which, you know, if it's a credit union serving your members, you know, NASCA serving the state system and the regulatory agencies. And so it is just a challenge that you said is always evolving. And then the other thing that always gives me pause is, you know, you think about the United States. I think the United States, what, 78 to 80% of the United States is on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, worldwide, only a little over 60% of the world is on the internet.
I think it's like
63-65% as of last year. And so you think about all of these threats we're facing, and you think that just 2/3 of the world is even on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And as that increases, there will be just more bad actors as internet continues to flow out. So it'll be a never-ending challenge, and then you're back to how do you fight the fatigue factor.
You got that right, because we're being bombarded by it on a daily basis, and then you see all the breaches in the news, and you just become unfortunately we become numb to it. It's like, oh yeah, another breach, yeah, whatever, okay, yeah, my information's out there, whatever. So but you can't, you, it's really hard not to think like that. So
it is. Then I think as we think about cybersecurity, you also have the confluence of two very, you know, obviously interrelated but distinct. You have the privacy and the cybersecurity,
mm-hmm.
and it's, on the one hand, it's kind of one and the same, but it's also, you know, two different things. It's the member data and identifying information versus the compromise of the institution itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you look at the kind of evolving policy landscape, you know, there is a lot of activity around what should be the focus, who should be the arbiter of what is, you know, cyber hygiene. I mean, you have the standards from system and everywhere else, but you know, you look at, you know, the CFPB circular on, you know, well, perhaps, you know, insufficient cyber hygiene
mm-hmm.
is inherently an unfair and deceptive act in practice.
Mm-hmm.
And who would that apply to as you start to kind of go down that path? But you look at, you know, coming out of the EU in 2018, the GDPR, you look at the kind of state activity, there are probably a dozen bills that were introduced in Congress looking at either privacy or
mm-hmm.
cybersecurity,
mm-hmm.
you know, ditto that on the state side. And so how is this kind of fabric going to fit together, and who should be the arbiter, and who ultimately are we defending? Are we defending consumers? Are we defending, you know, the United States and kind of critical infrastructure?
Mm-hmm.
Are we defending the safety and soundness of an institution? And all of this plays out against the backdrop back to our sector of, you also have to serve your members.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the late Tom Schauer always used to say, I can design a very secure system to you. I'll take your laptop or your computer system, encase it in concrete, and bury it in the yard.
Yeah.
Nobody will ever hack it. Not very, you know, good for kind of business and serving your members.
True.
So again, how do we balance that? And then you also get back to the friction point. I think this is where we go back to the education of the members, because they want a seamless experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we all do.
Well, it's the balance between convenience and security.
At the same time, and you know, I think about the, you know, literally hundreds of different passwords that I have for my personal life and for Naskis and everything else. And then every 90 days, some of them are beginning to change.
Same
and how do I keep, you know, doing them? And it's like, and so all of these kinds of challenges out there that we have to deal with, again, against a completely evolving landscape, both from a threat, from a financial technology
mm-hmm.
and the innovations, and then from a policy.
Yeah.
As everybody tries to figure out how do we balance this, and how do we apply rules to, you know, a highly regulated financial sector with perhaps a less regulated,
mm-hmm.
you know, commercial
mm-hmm.
sector. And again, all of that comes home to roost at the credit union.
Right.
You know, when a member's data or financial accounts are compromised at a point of sale, you know, who bears the cost of that? Well, the financial institution has to reissue everything. And then who
mm-hmm.
is the member kind of annoyed
expensive.
At? Mm-hmm. It's expensive. And then the member, who are they kind of annoyed at? Well, they're kind of annoyed at the financial
mm-hmm.
institution.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've got to go reset up my home banking and everything else.
Yeah, oh my gosh. So what is NASCA's role in all of this? Because obviously this is why organizations have chief security officers, and they have a whole team under them, because it's so complicated now, and it's getting more and more complicated. So that's why they have these experts put into place to help watch this, so because of the complexity of it. So from an NASCA's point of view, what is your role? What is the organization's role to help?
Thanks for asking. So we launched our cybersecurity conference that we do in collaboration with CUNA in about 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see our role in a couple different areas. First, there is the basic kind of education, ensuring that credit union system regulators understand where this is going, understand the latest trends and kind of academic thought around proper cyber hygiene. the threats that are out there, and resiliency. We also, kind of being a unique organization which brings the regulators and the industry together, you know, this is an area where we think it's just essential that, you know, the regulatory agencies and the credit union system stakeholders are in the room together talking right. about this, so we can right-size right. expectations.
Yep.
We all
yep.
are kind of working from the same place mm-hmm. as we try to do this, because if the expectations aren't aligned properly, then you either have kind of insufficient effort on behalf of the system, or you might have effort above what is required. Now, mm-hmm. in the cybersecurity context, that's great. You're going to be more secure. But
right.
if there's a fine line in there where you can, again, try to right-size that member service and that cost to all of this, that's critically important. So we see our role as kind of that information pushing out, like a lot of industries and associations are mm-hmm. doing, but also where we have that nexus of the regulators okay. and the industry in the room, kind of hearing the same thing, talking through this, so that we all have a common understanding to mm-hmm. approach it either from an operational standpoint, mm-hmm. if you're a stakeholder, or from the kind of supervisory regulatory standpoint for our regulator stakeholders.
Wow, what a world we live in now. Isn't it fun?
It is. I won't say it's fun, but it
no,
keeps
I'm
us busy.
Kidding.
Again, it's critically important along with everything else that is going on, but it is something that'll just be always with us. There's
it's
entirely
no
too much,
doubt about that,
too much
yeah.
money at stake. I think yeah. they estimate by 2025 it'd be $10 trillion worldwide.
Good grief.
You know, and
everything
from
I mean, like it wasn't bad enough during the pandemic and just after the pandemic, but when Russia invaded Ukraine, it took it to a whole new level.
Right, that's where I get back to
the
hacking part. Yeah, and you get back to the nation state actors who again are operating on a couple levels, either disruption. And, you know, almost as a form of kind of aggression that mm-hmm. nation states do, but then that's also then combined with some of the nation states that are like, this is a twofer.
Yeah.
We can disrupt, and we can also fund our ballistic missile program or
yeah.
whatever it is by actually extricating
what
funds.
A world we live in. Oh, my gosh. All right, Brian, I could talk to you all day about this type of stuff, but I know you got stuff to do and a session to prepare for, so thank you so much.
Thank you.
For hanging out with us today. Nice Thanks. To meet you in person.
Yes, very nice to meet you. I've been a fan of the podcast. It's great. And
oh, thank you.
Enjoy talking. Hope we get a chance to talk again.
Let's do it again, sir. Yeah, this is really
enjoy
good stuff
it.
Here. Well
thank
done,
you.
And good luck in your session. It's gonna
thank
be a,
you.
I think it's going to be a standing room only session for sure. All right, Brian Knight, everybody from NASCUS, go check him out. And I look forward to chatting again, sir.
Thank you, Mike.
Well done. Studio Lounge interviews brought to you by Go West Credit Union Association, IMM eSign, Trellens, PSCU, Peer IT Credit Union Services, and Janusee.
This episode brought to you by Origins, origination technology for today's credit unions.